Welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly market and economic review and outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by our two senior client portfolio management leaders, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenrich, for a conversation on the markets. They'll be taking a look at our five economic gauges that drive our expectations for the markets. So let's get started. Glenn, over to you.
Thank you, Patty. As Patty mentioned, these five gauges represent to us the major drivers of stock prices over time. And the basic premise is if the gauge is straight up and down at 12 o'clock, it's a neutral for stocks. If it's to the right, it's a positive. And if it's to the left, it's a negative. So we have a lot of changes in the gauges. As a matter of fact, all five gauges changed this quarter. Three of them went backwards, two of them went forwards. And Pete, why don't you start us off with the economic gauge?
Sure. Yeah, the economy was one of the gauges we did bring back one notch from that neutral. So now we're in a slow backward position with the economy. And here we're really just trying to acknowledge the slower economic growth that we're going through. We know first quarter GDP was negative, second quarter GDP was negative. Now that's not the definition of a recession. We know there's a lot more that goes into the definition of a recession, but we've been saying really throughout the year, we were expecting slower economic growth in 2022. And that's what we've seen. We've clearly seen that materialize, especially as the Fed has gotten very aggressive with raising interest rates. A couple areas of the economy we looked at closely, the job market is one. That has stayed really resilient as we've looked at the action during the first three quarters of 2022. We got down to 3.5% unemployment. That was the lowest since February of 2020, which I kind of mark as the month before the pandemic. So we really repaired all those job losses that we experienced through the pandemic, got those people back working, and now we're kind of in that very low, kind of mid 3% range. We did bump up to 3.7% unemployment. Again, not too unexpected that we would see a little bit of back and forth with the unemployment data, but I do think that's an area we'll keep a close eye on as we move through the rest of this quarter and year, because we want to see what do these higher rates mean to the job market. About 70% of the US economy is you and I out spending money. So we really pay close attention to consumers. Are they able to get a job? Are they able to make wages that allow them to spend the money? And are they confident to spend that money? That really is a core driver of our US economy. One other area we look at is housing. And as you would expect, housing has started to slow down. We were going off of really incredible price gains in the housing market over the last year or year and a half. So we've started to see that just begin to slow. High home prices combined with higher mortgage rates now. We went from at the beginning of the year about a little bit below 3% mortgages. They actually touched 7% during the third quarter. So obviously a massive increase in the cost of mortgages. Those are starting to have an impact on the housing market, which we view as a leading indicator, an area we look at closely. Started to slow. We really haven't seen any real dramatic negatives in the housing market yet, but we do anticipate that will slow as we move through the end of 2022 and into 2023. Any more kind of thoughts on the economy, Glenn?
Yeah, I think the key word really is slowing. We're seeing that slowdown across the board. We've seen for the first time, house prices actually declined on a month-to-month basis. That's the first time we've seen that in about a dozen years. Operating earnings have gone down from initial expectations. We were looking for about 8% growth in 2022, and now we're down to flat. Next year, the estimates are for earnings to grow a little over 14%. That may be overly optimistic. That could settle down more into the 8% range, but importantly, earnings are still growing, and we're not seeing that an earnings recession, even though we may face at some point a mild economic recession. We saw some weakness in the job market. The JOLTS survey, which is job openings, actually decreased by 1.1 million to 10.1 million job openings, way above the number of unemployed people at 6 million, but still we've seen some cracks in the foundation of the economy, and there's definitely a slowdown occurring. So that brings me to the next part of the equation, which is inflation. That's why the Federal Reserve is raising rates. That's why we're seeing the economic slowdown, which is exactly what they're trying to do, is to bring demand down to start to stabilize prices. We saw CPI up as high as 9.1%. That improved to 8.5%, and then finally 8.3%. So we're moving in the right direction, and we're starting to see that slowdown in demand that the Fed is trying to engineer without creating a recession, which brings me to the next gauge, which is monetary policy or the Federal Reserve. Not surprisingly, we moved that back one notch to the full backward position. We've gotten five meetings with five rate increases in a row. We've had 300 basis points of increases in the Fed funds rate. So we're now at 3.3% target. More is expected this year at the November and December meetings. Quantitative tightening started to kick in. Pete, any other comments on the Fed?
Yeah, I think the speed to which they've gotten to this point is important to point out as well. So remember, the Fed started raising rates in mid-March. So literally in the course of a little bit over 6 months, we've gotten this 300 basis point increase. So I do think we'll still get that lagged effect. We will start to feel the impact of these higher rates as we go further, you know, through the end of this year and into 2023. But I think that's important to point out as well. And remember, the Fed, when we talk about inflation, the Fed is looking at what's called the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, the PCE index, and they look at the core level of that. So they take out the food and energy, and that's been kind of between that 4% and 5% range for the last couple of months. It did tick a little bit higher in the last monthly read, but I think it's important that people understand when the Fed talks about that 2% inflation goal, they're really looking at that core PC number. I know it feels like a huge stretch to think of going from 8% to 2%, but remember, that's not what the Fed's looking at. The target they're looking at is still in kind of that mid to upper 4% range. So clearly the Fed has become more restrictive. This is a 180 from where we were last year, massive monetary stimulus to now really a more restrictive monetary policy environment. That has spurred economic volatility, that has spurred capital market volatility. We've seen a repricing in both stocks and bonds. And that's really been, I think, the big driver of the volatility we've seen this year. So we do think it's appropriate to get that one into the full backward position. Our next gauge is valuations. That is one that we actually bump up a notch. We take that from neutral to the slow forward position. And I really, even when that was in the neutral position, I've been telling people over the last, you know, couple of months, that's a positive for us. You know, this has been a gauge which has been in the negative position for a lot of the last couple of years. We've been dealing with more of a highly valued stock market. So we were comfortable enough going into the fourth quarter to move this gauge up a notch to say valuations have gotten to a level where we think there's some opportunity based on valuation. You know, we know interest rates have gone up. That does change the equation on what you pay on a PE ratio for a stock. But we think with the dramatic decline we've seen in stock prices, and as Glenn was pointing out, we really haven't seen that big of a drop off in earnings. Earnings have really kind of held in there. We have seen valuations improve really markedly over the last several months. When we were looking at valuations late in 2021, we were at levels that we saw in 99 and 2000. We kind of know how that period was, certainly a period close to me when I was out on the West Coast dealing with a lot of technology folks, really right into that dot-com bubble. It was a different kind of feel as we were in 2021 because interest rates were so suppressed. Now that interest rates have gone up, it's understandable why valuations have reset, but we've really gotten valuations in a much better range right now. We are a firm that cares what we pay for stocks. So having valuations in general come down has really created some opportunities in this market environment. That's why we move that valuation gauge really for the first time in a couple of years into that slow forward position. Glenn, any other thoughts on the valuation side?
Yeah, I think this is an important gauge longer term. If you think about it, the value of any business or the market as a whole is determined by earnings and then what people are willing to pay for those earnings. So that priced earnings multiple or the valuation is really an important component. And for the first time in a while, we've seen valuations now drop down below long-term averages, right? You know, the PE on the forward earnings for the S&P 500 right now is around 15. The 20-year average for the S&P 500 is about 17. And we're in line with a 40-year average. So we've seen that contract pretty dramatically. And if you think about the earnings yield, which is the inverse of the price to earnings ratio. So if you took the one over 15 instead of 15 over one, that gets you to an earnings yield north of 6%. When you compare that to the yield on a 10-year treasury, even though interest rates have moved up a lot, and let's say that 10-year treasury is at 3.7%, that earnings yield is still more attractive for stocks than the risk-free rate on the 10-year treasury. So while valuations have come down, we think they're attractive on a longer-term basis, but we also think they're attractive relative to fixed income, the other asset class. So that's an important gauge, and that's moved in the right direction. Investor sentiment is kind of an interesting one. It's a contrarian indicator. And what we try to gauge is fear and greed amongst investors. And we're definitely seeing a lot of fear right now. So as fear levels go up, that's actually a positive in our mind for the outlook for stocks. And we move this gauge forward one notch to all the way forward at this point. If you can look at investor surveys, we see a lot of bearishness out there. We've seen the volatility in the market. If we look at the CBOE volatility index or the VIX index. And during the rally that we saw in the market back into to mid-June, you know, the VIX had dropped back to its long-term average, which is around 19. So we saw the VIX drop below 20. As the market has sold off since that point, the VIX has jumped back up above 30. So that's showing a lot of concern amongst investors. And that, again, that typically is associated with a bottom. You see asset prices go down and fear levels go up in that bottoming process. That's what it feels an awful lot like. Pete, anything to add there?
Yeah, no, I think the sentiment indicator does give us a little bit of sense on kind of a shorter term basis. It is a very sensitive gauge. And as Glenn said, we all know this, we've got a lot of movement here in the last several months with what's happened in the market and the economy. You know, the lows that we saw in that mid-June time period where we saw rates go up, that clearly reversed for a couple of months where stocks rallied and we saw yields go down into about mid-August. And then that is kind of reversed. And obviously we know September was a challenging month, kind of retested some of the equity market lows, broke below some of those low levels we saw in June. So we really saw that pessimism pick up. And as Glenn said, these are things we can actually measure. We can look at, you know, fund flows. Where is money flowing in or out of mutual funds? Is it equity mutual funds? Is it bond mutual funds? Is it going into money markets? So those are things that we can really track on a tangible basis to give us a sense of what is that investor sentiment out there. And this is the one when I'm in meetings and I try to describe this one, because I think it's a little bit more challenging to try to get our head around what that means. And being a contrarian indicator, I think the Warren Buffett, one of his very famous quotes, I think really sums it up. And one of his comments is, be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. And I really think that sums up this gauge. We know these are the challenging times. These are the times where it doesn't maybe feel great to own stocks, but we know these are the opportunities that don't come around too often. You know, when we see the market discounts stocks like they have this year, you know, these are the chances where you can kind of step into it and really lean against the wind and really see some opportunities. You got to be prepared for some volatility. And, you know, oh, by the way, we got midterm elections in about 5 weeks as well. So we understand volatility is probably here. We're probably going to see that. One other positive, we're heading into a more seasonally strong period historically for the markets. Again, those are those historical data points that don't need to repeat themselves. But as we kind of head through and pass the midterm elections and into that third year of a presidential cycle, that tends to be one of the better environments for equities historically. So we've seen a lot. We're probably in the later innings of this rate hike cycle. You know, if the economy can kind of hold on, yep, the odds of a mild recession have picked up, but companies have been able to really hold on to earnings pretty well. You know, we could see how, as we kind of get into 2023, really see some opportunities start to develop. The final gauge is interest rates. And this one generally kind of tracks what we're doing with monetary policy. We're not as extreme with it as we are on the monetary policy. This one we do take from neutral into the slow backward position, again, showing and acknowledging that we know interest rates have moved up dramatically this year. But when we step back and look historically where interest rates are, they're still in kind of a more normal historical range. We would say that we know the higher interest rates have started to impede economic activity. They have started to slow economic growth. And I think the one obvious example is something like mortgages. Obviously, seeing mortgages more than double when we look at mortgage rates, that's going to have an impact on the economy. But overall, when we look at that interest rate environment, where it's still not at a level we would say is really that high, it has been a dramatic move higher this year because we were coming off of such a low base. But we do still think, you know, when we look at those interest rates, not as restrictive as we've seen at some times in the past. So, Glenn, any comments on the interest rates gauge?
Yeah, I think a lot of great information comes out of the bond market between credit spreads and the yield curve. And what we've seen in this rate hike cycle is what we've seen in the prior four that we had in the last 30 years. Rates move up across the yield curve, meaning both short and long-term rates move up. And then as you get further along into the rate hike tightening cycle, the yield curve starts to flatten. Right now, we have a very flat yield curve. Pretty much all of it is inverted with the exception of kind of 3 months and in. which is an important indicator for us because we look at the spread between the 3-month Treasury bill and the 10-year. When the yield on the 10-year or the 3-month is above the yield on the 10-year, that always flashes a recession warning signal to us. And it hasn't happened yet. It may happen at some point, and then that gives us a risk of a recession probably later next year, but that hasn't happened yet. What also happens in a typical rate hike cycle is as you move further along, and we think we're probably 2/3 of the way through this rate hike cycle, long-term yields actually start to come down. And that's pretty logical if you think about it with the Fed controlling the Fed funds rate, which is overnight lending, so very short term. The quicker they raise that or the harder they hit the brake pedal, the less likely we are to have future inflation. And that's why you generally will see yields start to come down later in the rate hike cycle. Importantly, the same thing is true for stocks. And if we go back and look at those prior rate hike cycles, both stocks and bonds have started to rally before the final Fed rate hikes. And we think we're really in that kind of a period right now, even though there may be some more rate hikes coming. We think the majority of the damage has really been done to the stock and bond markets, and we've discounted that already. We think we're in that bouncing around the bottom period right now. So just to bring it all together, we had a lot of activity with our economic gauges. All five changed. Three of them went one notch more negative. Two went more positive. The net-net, we have three negative gauges, two positive, but we feel like we're in that bottoming process in the market. Patty, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Glenn, and thanks, Pete. Thank you both for being here with us today. Specifically during a volatile and choppy market, it's really helpful to get your perspectives and your insights. And thank you for watching. If you have any questions or need our help, please reach out to your client portfolio management team or your regional investment consultant. We're here to help you and your clients. And be sure to check out our blog, blog.ccmg.com, for our latest market insights and commentary. Again, that's blog.ccmg.com. Thanks again for watching and take care.